The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, Where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is the Gospel lesson just read, John 16, verses 5 to 15. And the sermon title is, The Office and Work of the Holy Spirit. In any religious organization, the issue of succession is a critical and often controversial matter. Succession means who is going to lead after the founder of the religion dies or retires? In the case of Islam, it's split into two groups over the issue of succession following the death of Muhammad. The Sunnis believe that the successor to Muhammad should be voted on by the leaders of the day, since leaders were thought to be the ones most able to recognize leadership qualities. This is an oligarchic idea of succession. The Shiites believe that the prophetic spirit remained within the family of Muhammad. Thus, the leadership should pass to his nearest male relative. And this was a dynastic idea of succession. The Sunnis and Shiites have been divided and sometimes at war ever since. And it still affects the politics, if you're watching it, the politics of the Middle East today. Who is going to lead after Jesus went to heaven to return to his Father? Who is going to judge matters of doctrine, morality, and church practice after Jesus had ascended? And that is the question that is answered by our gospel lesson this morning. Who did Jesus say would be the leader of the Christian church after he left? Peter and his successors, the popes, who are also the bishops of the Church of Rome? The archbishops gathered in council, gathered from Jerusalem, Alexandria, Constantinople, Antioch, Rome, and other ancient centers of the church? The national archbishops of each country, like the Archbishop of Canterbury? A worldwide gathering of churches, such as today's World Council of Churches? No, none of these. Jesus went to heaven and sent one successor, the Holy Spirit. Like any leader, the Holy Spirit has both an office and a work. The office is perpetual. It will endure until Jesus returns. The nature of the office is described by the Greek word in verse 7, paraclete, that is helper or comforter. Now, when I hear the word comforter, I first think of the quilted blanket that my mom, my wife, puts on our bed during the wintertime to keep us warm and cozy. And maybe you don't use those in California, I don't know. But we do. The word comforter also means somebody who sits at your side, listens to your story, and pats you on the back when you are in distress. The ideas of consolation and encouragement are also in there. And this shows us then that the primary work of the Holy Spirit is the gospel, reminding us of God's love and grace as seen in Christ Jesus, and reminding us of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The work of the Holy Spirit is described by verses 8 to 11 of our text. The Holy Spirit, it says in our translation, convicts the world. Well, that's probably not the best translation for how it's used. It sounds more like you're going to jail. The Greek word there, elexai, really means that he convinces the world. It means that he leads people to conviction in the sense of certainty. The Holy Spirit, verse 9, convinces the world concerning sin. The Holy Spirit convinces the world concerning righteousness, verse 10. The Holy Spirit convinces the world concerning judgment, verse 11. Thus, the Holy Spirit works especially in convincing people of the truth of the law, of the gospel, and the final judgment. Why does the Holy Spirit have to convince people of sin? It seems obvious that criminals are bad, and people who are obnoxious are sinful in some way. The Holy Spirit does not need to convince people of bad behavior in that sense, because the natural knowledge of the law that's implanted in our hearts does that by itself, both for the believer and the unbeliever. And so we kind of know what's right or wrong without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's special work is convincing people whom society thinks are good that they are in fact sinful under God's law. The Holy Spirit exposes the sinful thoughts in our minds and the sinful desires of our hearts, and he condemns them all, thus proving that all men and women are sinful. both the outwardly evil people as well as the outwardly good. Why does the Holy Spirit need to convince people of righteousness? Most people think they recognize a law-abiding citizen when they see one. And that's what the term, or one meaning of the term, righteous man means. But the Holy Spirit goes at this from a deeper level. The truly righteous man, without fail, always wants to cooperate with his Heavenly Father, and never, ever has a disordered or hateful word, or thought, or desire, much less action. And the only person in all the world who has fulfilled that definition of righteousness is Jesus. The Holy Spirit convinces people that only Jesus is righteous, and they need his righteousness to be acceptable to God the Father. And this is the righteousness that is imputed to believers by God's grace through faith, and it's received in the Word and the sacraments. Why does the Holy Spirit need to convince people of the final judgment? Well, it does seem like Jesus has forgotten about the church. It has been almost 2,000 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. Although the Christian church, by name, today has its largest population and widest extent on earth that it has ever had, and it is by most measures the farthest away from the teachings that Christ has given to it. After the Reformation, all the ancient heresies came back into the church with full force. Since the time of rationalism, human ideas and speculation of philosophies have replaced the teaching of Scripture and the church. Today, the liberal Protestant churches reject the authority of Scriptures, and they teach that certain abominable sins are okay. They all intentionally forget that Jesus will return and judge especially those church leaders who have not kept his word, but they perverted it from within. How then does the Holy Spirit convince people of sin, righteousness, and judgment? He does this only through the words of Scripture, which Martin Luther called the external word. And this is what our text talks about in our verses 12 to 15. Jesus tells the 12, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Now we need to remember that when Jesus spoke these words, there were no books of the New Testament. All they had were the scrolls of the Old Testament. Well, why did they need the New Testament? They had Jesus himself. But he was going away. So creating the New Testament scriptures was the special work of the Holy Spirit. He inspired the apostles and evangelists to write the New Testament scriptures, and those are the ones we have in our Bible today. He not only brought back to their memory what Jesus said and did, but the Spirit also gave them other insights that they did not have when Jesus was among them. And that is what it means in verse 13 when Jesus says, "He will guide you into all the truth." All the truth. What does that mean? It means all the truth that you and I need to know God, to know how he wants us to live, and to know his plan of salvation. The New Testament scriptures also explain how we Christians are to understand and to use the Old Testament scriptures. Together, the two testaments are intended when St. Paul writes, "All scriptures are God-breathed and are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training concerning righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work," 2 Timothy 3:16. Some people think that you can find the Holy Spirit in your heart, or through ecstatic experience, or through deep meditation. Well, none of that's true. The way to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit is simply to hear the voice of the Scriptures, the word that's printed there in your Bibles. The Bible and the Word of God that it contains is how the Spirit convinces people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And there is no other way that the Spirit works. In this way, Jesus and the Holy Spirit continue to lead the church of true believers in doctrine, morality, and church practice until the day when Jesus returns. May the Spirit continue to convince you of sin, righteousness, and judgment until Jesus comes again. In his name, amen.